Good morning, Covenant. I'm glad so many of you made it, because I don't like to preach in front of an empty room. We've had that long enough, and I hope things will change very soon. Oh, I have to make sure I'm standing in front of the mic here. I'm so used to walk around. Forgive me if I forget it. Not too long ago, I was reading, or I have to say I was rereading, A Christmas Story. And all of a sudden there was a passage that reminded me so much of the temptation that Satan tried to bring to over Jesus. And so I meditated about this part of the scripture and about temptation in general. And all of a sudden I thought, why don't I preach about it? And it came to my mind, I cannot remember when I last heard a sermon about temptation. And we are not talking much about temptation. Why? Do we fear that that may uncover some well-hidden secrets? Anyway, let's see what we can achieve within the next 30 minutes. And the best way to enter into this topic is probably by reading about the temptation that Jesus was exposed to. That's in Matthew chapter 4. And I want to read the verses 1 to 11. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. We have it on this. Oh, now I see it there too. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. So the first question that I asked myself was, how can I define, how can I say, what is a temptation? And I came up with my own solution. I don't want to compete with encyclopedias or whatever. I would say a temptation is a trigger to do what's not good for me or for others. I don't know if you will agree with that or if you find something better, but later on, I want to come back to this definition. My next question then was, Jesus was tempted three times in three different ways, three different fields. Can we think or can we classify temptations into these three fields? And I think that's possible. So the first temptation that came to Jesus was about his physical needs. Satan said to him, do something against you being hungry. Make these stones to bread. Eating, drinking, sleeping, working are big time temptations for us. We all can be tempted to get too much or too few of it. Have you ever found yourself in front of your kitchen fridge in the middle of the night? Have you ever been drinking so much at nighttime that in the morning you woke up and asked yourself, how did I come home? I know people who stood up for many nights, most of the night, just to watch Olympics. And they sacrificed their sleep and they sacrificed health and whatnot just to watch that. Have you ever neglected your family because you could not stop working? How many fathers come home late at night, they can't even say goodnight to their kids because they have to work? Lots of temptations in these fields. The second type of temptation that Jesus was exposed to, I would call the appreciation field. Satan tells him and says, do something to make the people applaud you. You want to be appreciated. You want to be recognized. You want to be accepted. And let me say that. That's a huge thing in our lives. It's one of the biggest needs we have, to be accepted. To feel accepted is so important. I think it's more important and driving more people than money ever can do. We all long to be praised. That starts very young age, small kids. If you praise them for what they do and what they try to achieve, they will learn faster. That's true for every age group, but maybe the biggest temptation comes for teenagers. They need this appreciation, and some of them can't find it at their homes because at home parents yell at them because they are so untidy and so this and that. So they are looking for appreciation from their age group, and what are they doing? Tell me, why are so many teenagers starting to smoke? I mean, we are all born non-smokers, so we all react on smoking a cigarette with coughing. It doesn't taste, that stinks. It's extremely expensive, and for teenagers, it's even illegal to buy that stuff. They all do this, take that into consideration, and because they want to be accepted by a certain group of young people. By the way, that's something parents of teenagers can do. They can show their love to their teenagers, although they are untidy and whatnot, lazy, that they don't need that part of appreciation from other groups. Have you ever thought what fashion and cosmetics are a temptation? We are spending, as a country, we are spending billions every year just for fashion and cosmetics, and some of that is really not necessary. Why are we doing it? We are looking to be appreciated. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be old-fashioned. And I'm not talking about cosmetic surgery necessary for some people after having an accident. That's something I think we all understand, but there are some cosmetic surgeries going on in this world. They are absolutely not necessary. And let me add one thing here from my own knowledge and perspective. As a preacher, as a pastor, it is wonderful to get some feedback, especially after a sermon, to hear, did it help anyone? Did it speak to anyone? Did it open eyes? I don't know. So it's good to get a feedback. But on the other hand, if people touch you on the shoulder and say, hey, good show, it's a huge temptation. And we probably all have heard from some preachers who were doing even TV sermons, that all of a sudden it was just a show that was important for them. It wasn't the message anymore. It wasn't Jesus anymore. It wasn't our faith anymore. It was a show that was important, and they just slipped away from the true meaning of being a pastor. Very big temptation for some people, and I have to say I'm glad here at Covenant I never had the feeling that somebody did it just for the show. I'm very thankful for that. Now, there is one thing that belongs into both of these two categories, and I have to mention it. That's our sexuality. Big temptation for many people, especially now in times of the internet where we have easy access to what not. The third category of temptation I would call the power and control. Satan came to Jesus and said, I'll give you power over this world. Political power is a huge temptation, and what could be more actual than saying this right now? I mean, let's look into the conflict in Ukraine. It's all about power. Or let's think just a wee bit over a year ago, what happened in the United States. The former president didn't want to give up power. He made everything and did everything he could not to pass on his office to Joe Biden. Or how did we feel? We kind of felt awkward in that situation. But it's not only political power. It's also control. And there is a fight for control in many families, in many marriages. How can I make the other one do what I want? Some use physical force. Others operate with anger, and others with withdrawal of affection. I can remember, I've seen a number of kids When they didn't get the parents to do what they wanted, then they said, "And I don't love you anymore." Let's try to have control over the parents. These are the three categories that I see, and maybe there is some more, maybe there are other fields, whatever. What can we do not to fall when we are tempted? What did Jesus do? Jesus said to Satan, "It is written." Now, what I'm saying now is no joke. Please don't get me wrong. When I find myself in the middle of the night in front of my fridge at home, and I'm longing for that piece of cheesecake that was left over at dinner, it never helped me to say, "It is written." I don't know your experience. That's my experience. Why? I wanted that so much. And I'd go miles to get it. I don't know if you remember that old cigarette ad when it was still allowed, like 30 years ago. I don't know if it was here, 30 years ago, I still lived in Germany. But there was an ad with a guy hiking outdoors and finally reaching a place where he sat down, lit a cigarette, put his shoes, his feet up, and you could see the big hole in his boots. And then it said, "I'm going miles for this and this cigarette." That's what we do. We go miles because we want it. We want it so much. There is something in us that forces us. Isn't that what we all experience? And that's what happened with the first temptation the Bible is ever mentioning in Genesis 3, verse 6. Maybe we can take the time to read it. Genesis 3, verse 6. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it." That was the thing. She saw it was good and it was also desirable for gaining wisdom. Now let me come back to my definition of temptation. The trigger isn't the big problem. You can give a gun to a small child and it can play with the trigger and do whatever as long as it's not loaded. The trigger is harmless. The problem is the load inside. And I see the same with being tempted. The big problem is not that picture that I see all of a sudden that makes me having wrong thoughts. It's not seeing that piece of cake or whatever. The problem is there is something in me that wants it. And that's why I call temptation a trigger. Because the trigger really is not the big problem. And let me come back to that Christmas story that caused me to think about these things. It's a story called The Christmas Promise. And it tells a story, it's fictive. It tells a story about a young man who ran away from home because of problems. And he finds himself running away and drowning all his problems every time in beer. And all of a sudden, it comes to his mind what his father once said to him. His father once said that we all have wild horses deep inside us. That's the thing. We have to face these deep horses inside us. And when he realized that these horses had driven him too long, then this young man finds home. Have you ever heard that sentence? I could not help, I had to do it. The problem is, we allow those horses to drive us. The trigger isn't the problem. The problem is what drives us inside. Now let me come back to the temptation of Jesus. The real answer that Jesus gives to the temptation is not the "it is written." The "it is written" is the answer that Jesus gives to Satan. But to the temptation, what Jesus says is, "I am not driven. I am not driven by the need for food. I decided to fast, so I decide to stop it. I am not driven." And for the second temptation, he says, or he could say, "I am loved by the Father. I don't need the applause of the public here. I don't need the Israelites to applaud me. I don't need that because I am loved by my Father." And for me, this is something absolutely, or was absolutely new for me to find out. It was just a couple of verses before when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan that God said aloud, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus knew it. He just got the assurance from God a little bit earlier, and he knew, "I'm loved by the Father, so I don't have to do anything to make people love me. I am accepted." And for the third category, in Matthew 28:18, we all know that verse, Jesus said, "The Father has given me authority over everything in heaven and on earth." I have the authority. I don't need you, Satan, to give me power. I already have it. I am not driven by the need of power. The only thing that I am driven off in this life, this is what Jesus could say, is I'm driven by love. And love always drives us to do the good things, not what's bad. Let me say that. Next time when you find yourself in front of the fridge at nighttime, or when you are going to sacrifice your sleep for Olympics, ask yourself, what is driving me? What is it? It helped me to pray to God, "I don't want to give up control over my life. I don't want to be driven. Lord, open my eyes that I'm not driven, that those wild horses in me don't have the power to make me do something that I don't want." So my prayer is that we gain control over our lives again, and that might be one of the reasons why the Bible or the New Testament speaks so much of self-control. It's important that we gain control over our lives, that we are not driven. So my prayer is that God opens our eyes for what drives us and how to gain control over that. It helped me doing this, and I hope it will help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all are tempted very often, sometimes every day, to do something what's not good. Lord, open our eyes that we can see, that we can experience what tries to drive us, and strengthen our wish to have control over it. Help us to gain control over our lives, and make us just driven by your love to do the right things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.